What is capitalism's greatest threat isn't poverty or crisis, but prosperity itself? In 1942, an Austrian economist made a startling prediction. Capitalism would collapse, not from failure, but from its own achievements. Joseph Schumpeter wasn't a socialist revolutionary. He was a conservative who mourned capitalism's coming demise, even as he predicted it. His prophecy has haunted boardrooms and shaped policy debates for 8 decades. Why? Because he understood something most economists missed. Economic systems don't just crunch numbers. They create cultures, shape values, and ultimately engineer their own destruction or survival. Marx wasn't just an economist. He was a prophet offering salvation. This explains why his ideas survived, despite flawed predictions. Marxism functions like a religion, providing ultimate meaning, historical purpose, and redemption. It emerged when industrial capitalism had shattered traditional faith, leaving workers spiritually adrift amid factory smoke and urban squalor. Marx transformed their struggle from wage disputes into world historical destiny. The 1840s brought unprecedented upheaval. Peasants torn from ancestral lands, artisans replaced by machines, communities dissolved into anonymous urban masses. Traditional Christianity offered afterlife consolation, but little earthly explanation. Marx provided both diagnosis and cure in scientific language that 19th-century minds craved. He acknowledged capitalism's revolutionary achievements, its destruction of feudal barriers, creation of world markets, development of productive forces beyond anything previously imaginable. This distinguished him from simple-minded reformers. He placed socialism within a comprehensive historical framework, showing capitalism as both necessary and doomed, a temporary stage in humanity's march toward liberation. Capitalism isn't a stable system managing existing resources. It's a hurricane, constantly destroying and rebuilding everything in its path. Schumpeter called this creative destruction, and it's capitalism's defining feature. New products, technologies, markets, and organizational forms incessantly revolutionize economic structure from within. Netflix obliterated Blockbuster. Smartphones killed cameras and GPS devices. Amazon transformed retail into a wasteland of shuttered storefronts. This means we can't judge capitalism at any single moment. A system that never fully optimizes might outperform one that does if its inefficiency enables greater long-run performance. The relevant question isn't how capitalism administers existing structures, but how it creates and destroys them. History vindicates this view. When giant corporations emerged in the 1890s, output exploded and living standards soared. The automotive industry consolidated dramatically by 1925, with 3 companies controlling 80% of sales. Yet quality improved, prices fell, and innovation accelerated. Creative destruction appears wasteful and chaotic, but it delivers results that careful planning cannot match. Capitalism's fatal paradox: prosperity destroys its own foundations. Innovation becomes mechanized, entrepreneurship transforms into committee work, and economic change becomes routine procedure. The heroic entrepreneur becomes just another office worker. Giant corporations displace the bourgeoisie from their economic function. Property loses meaning as stockholders become removed from ownership. Without children to work for, time horizons shrink, fostering short-term thinking. The bourgeois family structure disintegrates. Most devastatingly, capitalism produces universal hostility toward its own social order. It unleashes rationalist attitudes that attack private property itself, rendering the bourgeois fortress politically defenseless. Capitalism enables a critical intellectual class, writers, professors, journalists, who verbalize and radicalize discontent. Unlike earlier eras when intellectuals were few and controlled, capitalism unleashed them with printing presses and created conditions for their independence. Attempts at control fail because attacks must proceed according to bourgeois legal principles protecting intellectual freedom. Higher education expansion produces discontented intellectuals, whose hostility increases with each capitalist achievement. They staff political bureaus, shape legislation, and relentlessly attack the system that freed them. Strip away ideology and ask, could a socialist economy function efficiently? Schumpeter's answer surprises many. Yes, absolutely. Once industrial development reaches sufficient maturity, socialism becomes economically feasible. This doesn't mean absolute centralism or totalitarian control. Socialism exhibits cultural indeterminateness. It could be democratic or authoritarian, religious or atheist, depending on factors beyond economic arrangement. Some economists argued that rational economic behavior requires market-determined prices, which wouldn't exist under socialism. Schumpeter disagreed, demonstrating that economic logic applies equally in commercial and socialist societies. In his hypothetical socialist commonwealth, each person receives a voucher representing equal claim to the social product. The ministry sets initial prices, but consumer reactions ultimately determine final values. Industrial authorities follow specific rules: produce economically, transfer dollars for resources used, produce quantities that allow selling without loss. This system guarantees rational resource allocation because no productive element can be diverted without destroying more consumer value than it creates elsewhere. The real challenge isn't economic logic, but human adaptation. Can people work effectively without capitalist incentives? Schumpeter argues socialism requires no fundamental reform of human nature, merely adaptation within existing psychological parameters. Workers might actually show stronger discipline under systems they democratically approve, where economic consequences directly affect common welfare rather than abstract private interests. Classical democratic theory assumes a definable common good that rational people naturally recognize. Schumpeter demolishes this fantasy. There's no uniquely determined common good all people could rationally agree on. Different individuals and groups inevitably value different things fundamentally. Democracy isn't about implementing the people's will. It's an institutional arrangement where individuals acquire power through competitive struggle for votes. The electorate's role is far more passive than democratic ideology suggests. Voters don't decide issues or freely select representatives. They merely accept or reject candidates who bid for office. This realistic view strips away romantic illusions while preserving democracy's essential value: peaceful leadership transition through competitive elections. Socialist democracy faces unique challenges. Without capitalism's automatic restrictions on the political sphere, efficient management becomes crucial. Democratic institutions could survive transition to socialism, handling a different agenda focused on investment volumes and product distribution. The Russian experience revealed both possibilities and dangers. Trade unions evolved from potential obstacles into effective tools of industrial discipline, yet this came at tremendous human cost through brutal repression and systematic propaganda. By 1946, Schumpeter identified the real threat, not socialism, but Russian imperialism disguised as revolutionary ideology. The Stalinist regime was militarist autocracy with fascist characteristics, its socialist commitment merely rhetorical. America's industrial success offered unprecedented possibility, eliminating material want while maintaining reasonable work hours. Yet Schumpeter warned of bureaucratic inefficiency, unchecked inflation, and governmental mismanagement. He rejected stagnationist economists, arguing investment decisions stimulate saving rather than follow it. His analysis proved prescient. Emerging socialism resembled fascism more than Marxist ideals, a strange answer to Marx's prayer. Russian imperialism, not ideology, shaped the Cold War through traditional power politics. We inhabit Schumpeter's predicted world: capitalism dominant yet questioned, innovation relentless yet routinized, prosperity widespread yet satisfaction elusive. The gale of creative destruction continues, now digitized and accelerated. Tech giants displace traditional firms while facing the same intellectual hostility. The bourgeois family structure disintegrates as economic logic penetrates personal life. Economic systems carry the seeds of their own transformation, and success often destabilizes more than failure. The question isn't whether capitalism will change, but what emerges from its creative destruction, and whether we'll recognize the answer when it arrives.